If Jill Harrington has her way, the state of Virginia will take measures to see that convicted criminals cannot commit even more serious crimes. She's asking lawmakers to expand the state's collection of DNA of criminals. She wants it to include samples from anyone convicted of a Class A misdemeanor. She says that move will save lives. Jill Harrington's 20-year-old daughter, Morgan, was a Virginia Tech student in 2009. She was abducted and murdered after she attended a Metallica concert. Her alleged killer is the same man accused of murdering another Virginia student exactly 5 years later. That was 18-year-old University of Virginia student Hannah Graham. The alleged abductor is Jesse Matthew. In 2010, he had been convicted of criminal trespassing, which is a misdemeanor. If an expanded DNA database had already been in place in Virginia, prosecutors may have solved Morgan's case, says the local sheriff, and that could have meant that they had jailed the man before he allegedly abducted Graham. Jill Harrington, who founded the group Help Save the Next Girl, spoke this week to Virginia's General Assembly. She joins us from her home in Virginia. Welcome, Jill.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us about what happened back in 2009, 6 years ago, that led to what you're doing today?
Actually, I remember the exact moment. We had heard that Morgan's shirt had been recovered from a site near the fraternity row in Charlottesville about 3 weeks after her abduction. It was the most identifiable piece of evidence that police were asking for, and was found draped like a trophy on a bush. And at that point, I was begging the police to release that information to the community because I felt it was vital for the safety of the students for them to have that information. Unfortunately, the information was not released until it was leaked in the following July.
So how did this lead to what you're doing now, proposing this move to the state legislature in Virginia?
You know, I have been determined to save other families the anguish that we have experienced through the murder of our daughter. You know, it really came from a primitive, visceral place in me to save the next girl. My daughter's dead, but maybe I can prevent that for someone else.
And the person who's accused in both these cases, it's one person. His name is Jesse Matthew. He was convicted of criminal trespassing in 2010. So you're saying that his DNA, if police had it, could have led prosecutors to solve your daughter's case and could have prevented the death of the second girl, Hannah Graham. How would that have worked?
If the law that we are asking for, the DNA expansion, were in effect when Jesse Matthews was convicted of petty larceny, his DNA would have been entered into the data bank at that point in time. It would have pinged with the Fairfax abduction, assault, and rape, and he would be serving time for that crime, and he would not have been free to intersect with Morgan or Hannah.
And where is Jesse Matthews now?
He is actually, will be serving trial for the Fairfax abduction and rape, but he is currently incarcerated in Charlottesville, Virginia.
So the database, the DNA database that you're proposing specifically would do what?
It would include first degree misdemeanors as requiring submission of DNA sampling. In Virginia right now, convicted felonies are required DNA submission. We're trying to expand that. They do have legislation in New York and pending legislation in Wisconsin that proposes the same thing. New York has used expanded DNA data bank for about 5 years, and it has led to solving 50-some homicides, numerous sexual assaults. You know, if you catch a predator as he's escalating his criminality, we think also we can prevent some bad outcomes.
And the Class 1 misdemeanors for which somebody could have his or her DNA sampled, what kind of crimes would those represent?
There are the more serious misdemeanors, like trespassing and breaking and entering. People are concerned when they hear DNA because they think it's Big Brother. I think we submit a whole lot of personal information already. There are your photos, your fingerprints, your social security number. I travel a lot, and crossing borders, I'm leaving fingerprints in airports on pads as well as retinal scans. So there's a lot of personal information out there. This is just one such piece of information. They don't sequence your entire genome. They just take a snip of the genetic code to identify you as an individual. Sheriff Harding, who spoke with me to the General Assembly, likens it to a biometric fingerprint.
This is Chip Harding, who is the sheriff of the town where the bodies were found and where the school itself is. You're clearly sensitive to some of the pushback on this, including the ACLU, which says, look, if you do this, if you take DNA samples from those who are convicted of misdemeanors, then you are going to be specifically targeting disproportionately low-income people, minority people who are overrepresented in the criminal justice system, and that not every DNA match is going to be absolutely 100% accurate, so there could be a lot of false convictions. How do you respond to that?
Well, I would say that DNA is pretty accurate. Nothing is perfect, but it's one of the best tools we have right now. Also, this has been a tool that has exonerated some people who have been accused and have actually been doing time. And submission of DNA from misdemeanors in New York has led to people who were in jail in error to be freed. So it can work both ways. It can be a way of exonerating as well as a way of convicting.
What is your hope for this? Is it something that you intend to take nationally? Because it's a very public effort for something that was an extraordinary personal loss.
I think it will go national. I think that it will very quickly move to other states. We will laugh 20 years from now that this was even a matter of discussion. You know, the technology is moving so fast that the law and laws do not change quickly. The laws are lagging behind the available technology, and we want to change that. Again, we want to save the next girl, and we have done that through educating groups on college campuses and middle schools and high schools about personal safety. We have a big victim outreach and have supported other families who have missing and or murdered loved ones. And we also think that the legislative changes that can make laws better protect young women is an avenue of safety for the community that we need to pursue.
Jill Harrington, thank you.
Thank you.